You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, during the coronavirus pandemic, there have been reports of more scams going on against the public. So I'm now joined by the Detective Superintendent, Alex Rothwell, who's the Deputy National Coordinator for Fraud and Economic Crime at City of London Police. And although it is City of London Police, it is a national reporting centre. Thank you very much for joining us, Detective Superintendent. So I'll start with the most obvious question is, what are the most prolific types of scams that people should look out for?
Yeah, so first of all, I'd say that we haven't seen a rise in reporting levels in relation to fraud. But equally, the numbers of frauds that we're seeing are now consistent with what we would normally see. And I'm conscious that crime in general has largely reduced during the COVID crisis. We've seen a number of different scams relating specifically to COVID-19, and it's not unusual when there's something that's very much in the public consciousness for criminals to use that issue as a hook to persuade people to part with their money or their details. So in terms of COVID-19, what we've seen a real increase in is things like online shopping scams. So some of that's people looking to purchase things that they really feel they need now, things like face masks, PPE equipment, as we call it, things like hand sanitizer. But also, perhaps more comforting things, we've actually had a significant rise in fraudulent sales of animals and dogs in particular, things that families might be wanting to buy when they're at home. So in addition to that, obviously, a lot of people are working at home. So we have seen what we would describe as payment diversion frauds, often targeted at businesses, persuading people to make payments for invoices, for example, to bank accounts which maybe aren't familiar with them. We've still seen some offending relating to computer service software fraud, where people are contacted at home and provided with what appears to be a service to repair their computer when it is in fact fraudulent. We've also seen what we describe as phishing and smishing attacks. So this is where you will receive an email or an SMS message, often with a link in it, encouraging you to click the link. And what often happens is that the content of the message is linked to government messaging. It could be linked to things like charities or organizations that are looking to help people during the crisis, things that we all might be interested in knowing more about. And in some instances, the messaging has been more in terms of people breaching social distancing regulations, for example, and stating that they've been subject to a fine. So just to be really, really clear, the government has only sent one text message right at the start of the COVID crisis with a link in it. Any other message is false.
You know, for our blind and partially sighted listeners, if they were to receive a text, and generally as a whole for other people, how would you know if it is false or not? What are things that people should be looking out for?
So the first thing I'll say is, going back to that point I just made, you should never click on a link in a text message or an email unless you're absolutely confident that it's come from a source that you know and recognise. And I'll just reiterate that point again. The government and government agencies don't send links in messages for members of the public. So I'm conscious that we all receive lots of messages from businesses. There are ways that you can deal with that. If you're particularly interested in the message that's been sent, you can verify it by other means. And just a little bit of research, even if that means Googling the issue and learning a little bit more about it, taking 4 or 5 minutes just to step back and consider what it is that you've been presented with can make a real big difference in not falling victim to fraud.
I mean, so on a personal level, what I've been told, if you see like an email coming through that looks like it's from Apple or Amazon, is to just double check what the email address has been sent via. And from what I understand, if there's loads of, letters and numbers, chances are it's going to be false.
So that's certainly another method you can use. And what criminals often do is change one or two of the letters so it looks like it's coming from a legitimate source. But actually, when you look deeper, it's not. And again, it's another good reason just to do some research and be sure that what you're clicking on is the site you actually want to go to. And if you do find yourself clicking and moving onto a site where you're not sure about it, just close the browser down and make sure that you don't enter any personal details.
We're talking very much online here. Are there
Yeah.
You know, types of scams that happen away from the internet and away from the phone.
So we have had some reports of people going door to door offering, and I must stress that they've been relatively few in number. We have had some reports of people offering to disinfect houses or to go shopping for people or even collecting for local charities. Again, bona fide charities will have ID. Really, that's not an activity that should be taking place now while we have the social distancing restrictions in place. And what I would say is don't be afraid to challenge people if they're in person. A legitimate company or a legitimate person will not mind you challenging them and will be happy to help you verify who they are. We also are aware that some people are contacted by telephone as well. Again, we do get some types of offending where, in particular, we have a type of offending known as courier fraud, where people at home are contacted by telephone from someone purporting to be from their bank or from the police. And ultimately, the suspects persuade the person on the end of the phone to transfer money or to leave money out for them or to give them money in some way. So again, the police and banks will never, ever ask you to A, reveal personal details over the telephone unprompted, nor will they ask you to transfer money into other accounts or to provide them with money. You should hang the phone up, wait for a few seconds, and then call 999.
If somebody were to think that they had been scammed, what is the next step in the process there?
Okay, so it's really important to do two things. Firstly, contact your bank immediately if you've lost money or if you think you've lost money. And you should also report the incident directly to Action Fraud. And you can do that by telephone and you can do it online. And also, if somebody's actually there at your property and it's something that's happening now or it's something you're really concerned about, don't forget you can still call 999 or 101 for an immediate response. The best advice I can give is to step back and please don't be rushed into making decisions. There are many ways that you can verify the source that's requesting information from you. And of course, you can ask friends and family members to help as well. The final thing I'd say is it's really important that you've got the latest software and application updates on your devices. And the National Cybersecurity Center has got some really good advice on its website for people working from home, for example, and in a number of different scenarios. So it's really well worth having a look at that.
Detective Superintendent Alex Rothwell, thank you very much for speaking to us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.